Yeah, praise God for Christmas. Hallelujah. I worship you today, Lord Jesus. We magnify you. We give you honor. We lift up the name that's above every name, that at that name every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we just thank you so much. Father, we honor you, and we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence, your goodness, your manifestation in our midst. We welcome you today to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the saints that are assembled. We pray that every person here watching, joining us, would be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only, that we would seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things would be added unto us. We thank you, Lord, for health and victory and joy and peace and the love of God, which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Thank you for brotherly love in the church. Thank you, Father, that we strengthen each other, we build each other up, and we encourage each other in the faith. We thank you for your word this morning. We celebrate it. In Jesus' name we pray. And anyone who agreed said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to you. Good morning. We pray that everyone will have a wonderful, merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year. And we don't want to get to the new year yet. We want to celebrate our birth, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born. In Isaiah, the prophecy which came forth, actually, I was looking at dates, but I'm losing it here. But nevertheless, I lost the thought of the date. But Isaiah, the prophecy from chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. So we are, amen, amen. You guys can shout out and rejoice all you want, because we're a verbal bunch, and we celebrate. And I pray right now for every person here and watching that you would be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, that you wouldn't be ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation, that you wouldn't be timid, you wouldn't be afraid to speak your faith or declare your faith. You know, in this day and age, you know, offense is rampant, and people choose to be offended over nothing. And be strong in the Lord, you guys. Don't get offended over anything. Don't let anything get under your skin. Just be willing to you know, take criticism and take insults and take the things that, I mean, think how much Jesus Christ endured. He endured all the contrariness of something against himself, the contrary. There's a scripture that says that. Trying to remember what it was. The contrariness of sinners. The contrariness of sinners against himself. So not only did he, you know, walk the walk through his life, but he endured the contrariness of sinners against himself. So he was, as much as he loved humanity and loved everyone, a lot of them hated him, so he endured hate. So if you feel sometimes like people don't like you, or you know, something's just a schism of some sort has broken out between you and other human beings, or you and your parents or your children or your family or whatever it is, rejoice. The Lord endured it all for us, and we're grateful for all that he's done for us. So we're celebrating our Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, the Son of God, Almighty God, hallelujah. You know, before I get into this word for today, I want to just mention yesterday. We had a great class yesterday. Thank you. far. Those of you that were here, it was fun to really, really get into it. And there were some good questions, and it led, you know, one thing after another. And we touched a little bit about heaven. And so I just want to respond and just let everybody listening to know what we were talking about heaven. And I want to amplify three verses from Scripture that we want to believe and know. We should be aware of these Scriptures from the Bible. But 1 Corinthians 2:9, you know, we were talking yesterday about what can we know? What can we know about heaven? How can I join in the excitement about eternity with God? But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 is a quotation from Isaiah 64, 4. It says, as it is written, eye has not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has right now prepared for them that love him. So challenging you and you watching, for somebody who struggles to say, I love you, Lord, everybody should, you know, I mean, there's squeamishness in this world about, you know, all this weird stuff, but to be able to say, I love you, Lord, I mean, come on. Everybody should be able to verbalize, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. That song, I mean, we sing it, you know. Put the words in your mouth. And why? Because we're not ashamed of the gospel. Christians, if you're ashamed of the gospel, guess what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. If you're ashamed of the gospel, where are you going to get any power? The exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name, and gave to him to be the head over the church. Where are you going to get power from? You could lift weights every day. That's piddly. You can be developed physically. That's piddly. We're talking about power, power, wonder, working power in the name, in the blood, in the word. We get power when we're in the word and we're doers of the word, and we put God's word first place in our life, and we take time to memorize scripture. So why? To draw out the power that has been deposited in God's word. You ask Christians, God bless Christians, amen, everywhere. But you ask Christians, do you have any power? Yeah, I have Christ in my life. Oh, really? Can we follow you around with a camera when you don't know? How much power do you have over yourself and over your will and over your desire and over your behavior and over your lust and over your all the things that go on in a Christian's life? You know why? Because there's no power. So let me tell someone right now, where do you get the power? You get the power from God's word. When you start taking scriptures off the pages, you find your favorite verses, and one by one you start to memorize them, and you meditate on them, and you memorize them, and you meditate on them, and you speak them, and you speak them, and you declare them, so that pretty soon, if they take your Bible away, or if you lose your Bible, or if you can't find your Bible, you've got enough scriptures, you got a list of scriptures that could feed your spirit for week after week, day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute. I could speak the word, declaring the word of God, because thy word have I hid in my heart. There's an objective there. Why would I hide his word in my heart that I may not sin against you? It's power. That's the objective here. Where you getting your power? We want to get the power from the word, because when the temptation comes, when the pressure comes, when I'm by myself or I'm thinking about stuff, where does the power come to say no, to cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every one of my thoughts to obey Christ, to the obedience of Christ, to be a doer of the word, to not fall victim to powerlessness. Amen. Who cares about a weak church? Okay, if you're saved and you believe in a weak church, good for you, but I want some power. I want to be able to stand up when somebody says, who's living righteously? I want to stand up. Who's being a doer of the word? I want to stand up. Who says no to sin? I want to stand up. I want to testify. I thank God. God let me stand up here and tell you that stuff. Because I ain't a liar. If I'm lying, I'm frying. God would let God be God and me be destroyed for lying if I was a liar. I'm not lying, I'm telling you the truth. That's what it's all about. We're here to learn the Bible. You're telling me, it sounds like I'm yelling at you, but I'm loving on you with firmness. You tell me you got no time to learn the Bible? I'm not talking about just read a page or a few verses. I'm talking about learn something, memorize it, have it, so that when needed, you've got that power. So when we're talking about power, the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named in this world, we have names that are all kinds of names that have come against Christians, that have come against people that want to do what's right. And so we have the courage. We can have the intestinal fortitude and the strength to stand against and say no and resist the devil so that he flees. He doesn't want nothing to do with a person that knows the word of God, because he knows that at any moment you may slay him and stick him and cut him with the sword of the Spirit. And you know what? Maybe you're not really skillful with the sword of the Spirit, so that, you know, when you cut him, you just barely cut him a little bit, but you just keep cutting him, and pretty soon those cuts go deeper and more and more, and pretty soon he just leaves. He doesn't want to take any more of that. He'd like to stay there. And force you to submit to his will. I'm going to make that phony Christian submit to my will. I'm going to put pressure on him. I'm going to send demons his way. And we're going to make him bow to the devil and not to Jesus Christ. Oh, you want to try me? Come on and bring it. And we know the scripture. And we slice him to smithereens with scripture. And then we declare the word of God. What are you doing in times of pressure? What are you quoting in times of pressure? And you can't go find your Bible in times of pressure. You got to have it built up in your heart. I got the joy down in my heart. You know what else I got down in my heart? I got the word of God down in my heart, so that it's available for when I need it, so I can stand up for righteousness. So yesterday we were talking about heaven, and I said all that just by this moment of telling you about heaven. But again, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, women, people, the things that God has prepared for us that love him. All right, so going forward, believing, taking the limits off. We talked about that. Everybody hears us say that. But when you take the limits off, it means that exceedingly abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. Who knows the rest? Yell it out. According to the power that's at work within us. Power. See, I'm hung up on power. Am I a power-hungry human being? No. I don't care about power in the world. I care about power in the Spirit. I care about power in my life. I care about power against the enemy. I care about power against sin. I care about power against my flesh. I care about power against my will. I want some power. And guess what? I got the power. I got some power. I don't know how much on the measuring scale it is, but I know enough that if I'm alone and you can't see me, I got enough power to conduct myself as a born-again Christian child of God, doer of the word, not hearer only, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are added unto me, because I got the power. Power, wonder-working power. For unto us a child is born, and he came into the world so that we could just be wimps and get our butts kicked, and all the world would think and laugh at us. No. So we could stand up. Nobody's got to, you ain't got to preach on the corner. You ain't got to do anything like that. But when you, when somebody at your workplace comes and quietly whispers because they're embarrassed, they're ashamed of the gospel, and they ask you, I know you, you know your Bible, and I know you go to church, and I know you're a Christian, and you have something to give them. We want to have something to give them. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up so that I have something to share. I have something to offer. I've got some wisdom. I've got some understanding. I've got some help. I've got some love. I've got some joy. I got some peace. I've got some long-suffering. I got some gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I got some fruit of the Spirit. I can help. I can't win for them, but I can help. I want to be able to help. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of us the things that God already has prepared for us that love him. I can think of heaven. I think of heaven all the time because I believe that word, that eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God already has prepared, hath prepared, H-A-T-H, hath prepared for them that love him. I love you, Lord, and therefore I know that I'm excited to know that you do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can ask or think, according to the power that's at work within me. Lord, you're in me. Holy Spirit, you're in me. Your word is in me. And there's some power in me. Hallelujah. The next one, to go with yesterday, just this was all, after I left, all this stuff just came to me. And so as much as I want to talk about, you know, Christmas in a couple of days, we are lifting up Jesus as the Son of God. And Hebrews 6, 18 and 19 says, by two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie. So you could go find the verse that is outside your ability to comprehend, and you can believe that verse, and you can receive that verse, and you can act on that verse, because he does it by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. We have strong consolation of fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Verse 19 of that same Hebrews chapter 6 says, this hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. But anchor of my soul, I am locked down and fastened. I'm not going to be tossed. It's a ship. The ship situation is usually used in a lot of these instances. And in this case, I need an anchor to keep me in place when the winds of torment or the winds of fear or the winds of doubt or the winds of doctrine come blowing through. I'm solid. I'm secure. I'm fastened in place. No weapon formed against me can prosper. And I'm holding fast to my profession of faith without wavering because he's faithful, that promise. I have an anchor to my soul that is steadily holding on, regardless of whether someone comes in with a doctrine or whether maybe somebody challenges us because you can't believe that. That's not doctrine, or that's not structure, or that's, who cares what they say? If you read the Bible, you know the Bible, and you're holding fast to that profession. You're holding on to the Word of God. I'm holding fast to my profession. I'm holding strong to my profession. I'm holding strong to the Lord. I'm holding strong to the Father. I'm holding strong to the Holy Spirit. I'm holding strong to the Word of God. I'm holding fast to the Word of God. All right, because the third thing here, talking about this point from yesterday, because we're talking about heaven to a new degree. I don't know if we've covered some of the territory we covered yesterday. It's on the board back there, actually, in that room. That room is so cool. That table's so cool. Those chalkboards are so cool. We are so blessed. Thank you, Father. What a blessing God has given us. And so when we were in there, we got it written on the board, and we talked about from now till Jesus comes back, and then the tribulation, then the thousand-year millennial reign, then the eternal age. We talked all about it. It's on the board, and we talked about who's on earth for the thousand years, and what happens at the end of the thousand years, and what happens after the thousand years are over, all those things which are in the Bible, they're in Revelation, they're all over the place. We talked about them. Amen. And so by these, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, by these we've been given these exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we become partakers of the divine nature. Somebody's got to believe that. Oh, that's pretty language. No, that is truth. And if you believe it, and if you receive it, and you take that word and you deposit it in your heart, and you make a confession of that on a continuing basis, declaring that, that the power that's in that verse will come into your life, and pretty soon you'll have courage, you'll have strength, you'll have ability. And it says he's given exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we become partakers of the divine nature. And guess what happens? I can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. I don't lust. I don't have to lust, because I've got the power of God's word working on the inside of me. Now, this isn't in trying to braggadocious where you're blowing yourself out of proportion here, and then all of a sudden you're in the news that you failed because you had a lack of character. No, it ain't going to happen. Not out of arrogance, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen because I'm trusting God every single day to give me the courage and the strength and the will to stand on his word and be a doer of the word and stay out of the world and stay out of the flesh and stay out of darkness and stay out of all the junk. I'm here to testify to somebody right now. You don't have to live in the junk. You don't have to mix in with the mud, with the pigs. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we become partakers of the divine nature. A partaker of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption, we escape it. We're not running away from it in that sense of escape. It's not an escape. It just means don't do it. That's it. Just don't do it. Not going there. I don't have to look. I do not have to look. Hallelujah. I've got intestinal fortitude. I don't have to look. Back to 9:6. For unto us a child of Isaiah, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name. Oh, the name above, the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. He's called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There's some crossover in there. And, if you when you meditate on some of this stuff, the crossover kind of throws you for a loop, because who are we talking about here? Are we talking about you, Father? Are we talking about you, Lord? Are we talking about the Holy Spirit? But they're all one. The Father's the Father, the Son is the Son, the Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit, but they are one, praise God. So then we talk about Jesus came to deliver people from darkness of this world. What is darkness? The simplicity of the answer, as we all know, is absence of light. What is the explanation of these verses in Isaiah 9:2? The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has light shined. Light has shined upon our hearts. Today, we need to be grateful. We need to celebrate Christ because we're grateful that that light has shined into my heart. I am alive spiritually. I've been born again. I've been born from above. I've been delivered from the power of darkness, and I've been translated into his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son. I am we are members of the body. Members of the body in particular, I forgot how it goes. But nevertheless, what is it? Somebody said it, but 9:1, from Isaiah 9:2, and the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, but they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has light shined. So can you imagine a whole, just think of as far as you could see people, and they're all numb with darkness, just numbed with darkness. Lands, countries, persuasions, groups of people, numb, blinded, darkness. The people walked in darkness, but they saw a great light. They've come alive. No longer robots. No longer just walking around. They're alive. They've seen the light. They've received the light. He is the light. Jesus came, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. 9:1 from the New Living Translation. Nevertheless, this time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Hallelujah. People will see the light. They will come alive. People that walked in darkness, people that sit in darkness, which people that walk and sit in darkness, they're spiritually blind humans that don't know Jesus or have never heard of him. And a lot of people in this country haven't heard of him because they don't want to hear that name. They hear that name thrown around and swearing and cursing and all that stuff, and they're rejecting the name. But there's coming a time where the people that walked in darkness, they will see, their eyes will be open, they will come and understand, because the time is close to the coming of the Lord. And if they don't open their eyes, it's their choice to open their eyes. If they don't open their eyes, they will be left behind. Left behind, because we're leaving. We're leaving on a supernatural plane. The people that walked in darkness, they sat in darkness, which people, they sit spiritually blind, not knowing Jesus and never heard of him. A time of darkness individually, the moments in our lives when we get into sin willingly or unwillingly, darkness is caused by sin. Sinning. I don't know, does anybody talk about sinning anymore? I'm not afraid to talk about sin. I don't talk about sin because Jesus has defeated sin. And don't give me that stuff about because Jesus defeated sin, then I don't ever have to think about sin anymore, even though I live in sin. That's bull. Just because Jesus defeated sin doesn't mean that you don't have to resist the devil anymore. Or cast down imaginations, or bring your body into subjection. Otherwise, you'll live in sin. You'll be dominated by the flesh, by the mind, by the emotions, by passions and desires. I don't want to live that way. Deliverance. I'm delivered from the power of darkness, and I'm translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm not like that anymore. I've been bought with a price. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Those old things passed away. Behold, all things are new. I walk in newness of life. Everyone is called to walk in newness of life. You like my dance moves? Yeah. Get on down with your bad self, right? I walk in newness of life. And I am so grateful to you, Father. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might, I take on the whole armor of God. I do this. I will do this. I'll do it every single day for the rest of my existence on earth. I don't know if we'll still have to do it when we get to heaven. I don't know. But right now, I need to put on the whole armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girded about with truth, having my feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. I got a shield of faith on my right hand. I got the sword of the Spirit in my left. It's because I'm left-handed. And I pray. You know what the next verse says after they put on the armor? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Well, I don't believe in that praying in the Spirit stuff. Too bad for you, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to pull down strongholds. And when I put on the armor of God, pray right after it says the armor. The next verse, praying with all, and you can add manner of prayers, in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to pray in the Spirit. I'm not afraid to admit that I pray in the Spirit. Because there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, in the name, and in praying in the Spirit. I pray in English. Love to pray in English. I talk to God in English. But there are times when I just go, but I don't know what to say, so I get to pray in the Spirit. Praying with all your prayers in the Spirit. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. People that walked in darkness, nevertheless, 9:1 of Isaiah from New Living Translation, nevertheless, this time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The people that walked in darkness, I have to go over this again because I have to remember where I was. People that sit in darkness. Spiritually blind human beings who don't know Jesus, never heard of him. There's a time of darkness individually, moments in our lives where we get really messed up in sin. It's darkness. Any and all sin left unchecked will lead down that dark path, even causing spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness means I just can't even discern. I can't tell. I don't even know what's going on. We've been there where we get arrogant, prideful. We get deceived. Deception, that's what we're talking about, is you get deceived. Darkness is a spiritual condition we get ourselves into when we're not doers of the word. What does doers of the word mean? It's better for you to read one page of Ephesians and try and do that one page than to try and read the whole Bible. I've never read the whole Bible, and I don't care if I ever read the whole Bible, because I know enough of the Bible to make me strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I know enough of the Bible to know which are my swords and which stuff that, I mean, there's so much stuff in there that I have no interest in. I mean, I just don't have any interest in, you know, some of the, thank you. I don't, Leviticus is Numbers. Oh, Numbers. Wait, no. Numbers is good. Very good. Don't take Numbers out of your Bible. But if I've got New Testament, I've got Psalms, I've got Proverbs, I want the whole thing. I love the whole thing. And you know what? Don't tell God on me, but I've never read the whole Bible. Never have. I tried about 100 million times, and I got stuck in Leviticus. And I skipped over to the New Testament. But the point is that there are portions in here that I probably, maybe God's waiting for me to find those and enjoy them. But it's fun to read your Bible. It's fun to be, how can it be fun to read the Bible? Because if you believe that each scripture has power, exceeding great and precious promises that by these we become partakers of the divine nature. Why do I want the divine nature so bad? Why am I glad that I walk in the divine nature? Again, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's probably the worst thing going on earth right now. And if I can stand here before you and testify before God, escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hallelujah. Life's fun. I'm not under the thumb of anything. If I'm under God's thumb, so be it. Praise God. I'm blessed for being under his thumb. But as far as the enemy's thumb, I'm not under any other bondage of the enemy. Okay, now somebody's, don't misunderstand me. If anybody can humble themselves, I can humble myself as well as anybody. And that probably sounds arrogant too. So if I'm sounding arrogant to you, they're fighting words. When you go into a fight, when you were with David and when you were with those guys, the warriors of the Old Testament, you didn't go in there and be timid and you know, shrink a little bit and kind of not look anybody in the eyes. Man, you looked him in the eyes and he says, you want some of this? The
The laws say you got to rise up. You got to rise up. You got to stand up. You got to put on the whole armor. You can't do that cowering. How am I going to put on the helmet of salvation? How am I going to put on the breastplate of righteousness? How am I going to get my loins girded about with truth if I'm cowering? The Lord says you got to rise up, stand up straight, put your equipment on. If that's what you need to do next during this Christmas holiday is to verbally for several days, maybe several weeks, maybe a couple months, however long it takes for you to memorize the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, and memorize the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the loins girded about with truth, having my feet shod, preparation of God, gospel of peace, put on the helmet of salvation, to memorize. Memorize them. Why? Because then when you're memorizing them, you're meditating. Memorization is meditating. I'm meditating on the word, and pretty soon, man, I have this new courage. I've got some new strength. I believe that I can say no. I can stand up and say no. I'm not looking to say no to my wife or to the boss or to God, or I'm saying no to the enemy, to temptation, to the darkness. I'm saying no, and I say no. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I don't even know what time it is. Oh, ho, ho, we got plenty of time. Good, good, good. All right, so darkness is a spiritual condition that we get ourselves into when we're not doers of the word. If I will be a doer of the word, I can stay out of spiritual darkness. Because James said in 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Sometimes we get tricked. But that doesn't happen that often anymore when we're seeking God. But we can trick ourselves. The Bible says deceiving yourself. Deception, never participate in it. Don't be a deceiver. If you're in here right now and you're tricky, you're slick, you are one sly dude. I say dudes, I'm not going to accuse the ladies. You ladies, you can be really sly and manipulative and you know all that. But you don't want to do that. You don't want to be like the enemy. You want to be like God. God's honest and open and he's not trying to trick you while you're not looking. Forget all that stuff. Quit trying to trick people. Quit trying to get over on people. Quit trying to manipulate somebody. Just be yourself. Be real. And if you know what, if they use you and make fun of you, people sometimes when they see, oh, that person's easy because they're not into manipulation. Guess who gets it in the end? They may manipulate you, but guess what happens when they leave? God is my defender. He's my shield. He's my buckler. He watches over me. He takes care of me. And that dude ain't reaping. I mean, that dude's going to reap what he sows. If he manipulated me because I was trying to be an honorable person and he's manipulating me, I'm not going to be dumb on purpose. Don't anybody be dumb on purpose. But I'm not going to be, if something like that happens, cast the care over on God. Say, Father, I just pray for that individual that you open his eyes and that the sin of his selfishness would be exposed. And then let God deal with it. But, you know, we don't get manipulated on purpose, but we just don't get all bent out of shape because, you know, something like that happened. All right, so deception, never participate in it. Don't be a deceiver. Reject deception. Titus 1:10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers out there. So, you know, when people come up and ask you to money, those are some slick people, man. They are some slick people. They have learned, you know, I got memories of getting really manipulated. And it's still embarrassing. And they were good. They were just really good. It wasn't big money, but just getting manipulated at all, it's embarrassing, you know, because you fell for it. So you don't have to. You know, you can have common sense and wisdom from God. 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Okay, so if that's where it starts, and it just trickles down into people being manipulators, and they want to, you know, but who cares, right? Just use common sense and trust the Lord. And, you know, listen to your spirit. And we go back to prayer now. How can I listen to my spirit? The more I pray, the more sensitive I am to my spirit. And the more sensitive I am to my spirit, I'll get it checked. Something's wrong with that offer. What that person just said they could give you, you know, what they could do for you, how they could help you, or how, you know, if you gave them this, they could give you this. And all of a sudden you just go, I'm uncomfortable in here. That's learning to listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of us. I don't have to get chumped. Nobody wants to be chumped. I've been chumped lots. You know, sometimes on purpose because, you know, even if you're chumping me, you did a really good job of manipulating, and I'm going to give you something for that. That's dumb, isn't it? But nevertheless, you know, sometimes you just go, they were really good at manipulation, you know. 2 Corinthians 6:8, by honor and dishonor. My brothers and sisters, there's nothing better than to be around an honorable person. If you're a wife today, I celebrate. I got a tough wife, and she is honorable. And it's not to blow her horn or my horn, but the point is you want someone around you that's honorable. Because you know, when you turn your back, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry what they're saying, what they're thinking, what they're doing. Praise God, I've been out in darkness before, and I know what it's like when you turn your back and somebody's manipulating, somebody's cheating, somebody's stealing, somebody's doing you wrong, somebody's, you know, it's miserable. We don't have to live in misery when we've got people around us that are honorable. Be honorable. Choose it right now. I choose to be honorable. I'm not going to be dishonorable. I'm not going to be shady. I'm not going to be tricky. I'm not going to be manipulative. I'm not going to try and work on you. I don't need to. God is my source. God is my supply. He supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm going somewhere to be a blessing because God is on my side. Again, Luke 1:79, this is from New Living. To give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide us to the path of peace. That word peace there, G1515 in your Greek concordance, harmony, tranquility, safety, health, lack of strife. Yeah, baby, that's some good stuff right there. That's from Luke 1:79 in Living Translation. Sitting in darkness is living a life of spiritual ignorance, blindness, because of our choices. That's where that stuff comes from, because of our choices. Jesus Christ came to earth to shine his light and give us guidance in this dark world to deliver us from Satan's grip. I've been delivered from Satan's grip. Jesus fought and he won the battle. The songs, Christians, sing the songs. Guys, don't be so macho that I don't sing. Sing the songs. Why? Because you're confessing the word. The songs they pick are full of the word. And if we can't get you to take your Bible in your private time and sit down and memorize some scriptures and quote the word, then come sing the songs in church because you're confessing the word of God. How can you grow spiritually if you're not confessing the word of God? You know what you're confessing? Movie trivia. Sports trivia. I could tell you that the Wild won yesterday and they're playing today at 5 o'clock. How much power is there in my life to know that the Wild... I'm going to watch them. I love them. I love sports. I love the Vikes are playing the Giants today. But when I study the Word of God, I memorize the Word of God, I'm getting the supernatural power of God in my life. Now, don't everybody start buttoning the top button on their shirt right now and start putting their gloves on and stuff. I'm getting out of here. No, we're staying the course. We're going to be doers. We're going to live this life. This is important. Because what this is some of us learned this from others. And it was like boot camp. It was like,
you know, doing calisthenics. It was like, you know, I can run through a troop and jump over a wall. I can jump over that wall. I could probably jump up. Well, I better not try it, right, Nance? Don't try and jump over the wall. I landed on this cement wall, and from then on, that's when I started to feel it on the inside. And I don't know, but anyways, let me find my place here. Again, Luke 1:7-9, to give light to those who sit in darkness. Seating oneself, be seated, a fixed abode, a place that people are choosing to sit in darkness. Matthew 4:16 from the New Living, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. I said that several times. Darkness is found 142 times in the Bible. King James Bible, 22 times in Job, 16 times in Psalms, 5 times in Ecclesiastes, and 15 times in Isaiah. So why would I care about how many times darkness? So that we can understand that light expels darkness. That if I have darkness, so maybe got someone wouldn't admit it, but they've got a dark spot in your life. You need to just say, Father, I thank you that the light has been shed on my, the light of God has been shed in my heart by the Holy Spirit, and that I'm beginning to see the light. I'm beginning to walk in the light. I'm beginning to be a doer of the light. And that darkness is fleeing away, and that darkness is being defeated, and that darkness is weakening, and that darkness is leaving, and that darkness is out. I bind it, and I cast it out. Somebody goes, well, you bind that stuff, huh? You cast it out. I cast out anything I don't want. I bind it. Because it says, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I bind it and cast it out. You believe that stuff? Man, I am so into that. Why? Because it works. It changed my life. This stuff works. That's the point. You could say, well, that guy's just a freak of a preacher because he talks about stuff I don't understand. Now I'm talking about the Bible and it works. The word works, so that's my point. I'm talking about what works. I don't want to be a freak. I don't want to be a pervert. I don't want to be a weirdo. I don't want to be worldly. Everybody is worldly, carnal, sold out. I'm not saying you guys. I'm just saying everywhere you go. I don't want to be like that. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you unto myself, and I'll be a God to you, and you'll be my children. Amplifying it again and again. Deuteronomy 28:29. They grope at noonday. The blind grope in darkness. They don't prosper. Christians, I've been waiting to say this, and I finally got back to it. Some people aren't prospering because you haven't said no to the world. You can't prosper. You could, you know, we could say, you know, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there's not even room to contain. He'll rebuke the devourer for my sake. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. He multiplies my seed sown and increases the fruit of my righteousness. You know, you could say all those things, but boom. Separation. Stop that phone. Sin causes failure. The flesh gets in the way of the spirit. Christians don't prosper because there's darkness in their life. Deuteronomy 20:28, they'll grope at noonday, the blind grope in darkness. They shall not prosper in their ways. It's simple, clear scripture. They shall not prosper in their way because of the sins in their life. They won't deal with stuff. They just keep playing with fire. And fire burns up their prosperity. Fire burns up their increase. Fire burns up their promotion. Sin is the cause of all darkness. One way or another, it traces to, is evident, and under the microscope of life is the germ of darkness that is causing pain, sickness, mental illness, crime, hate, and life, because all darkness is the fruit of the devil, the enemy of God.
Just admit it. Just say, it does. The solution, the only lasting deliverance for any kind of darkness is to repent of all sin and get right with God, shut off the tap, turn off the faucet, close the door on sin, and darkness will flee away. So you're saying that I have to be perfect for any of this stuff to work? Absolutely not. I'm saying you got to want to. You got to press. We press towards the mark for the prize. That's what we do. And it works, praise God. When your heart's desire is to please the Lord, that supersedes failure. You know, I've kind of put out there some hard lines, right? Some people can live with hard lines. Other people go, oh, that's too hard for me. No, just put God first to the best of your ability. Seek first his kingdom to the best of your ability. Spend time in the word to the best of your ability. Choose to do what he says is best of your ability. Things begin to change. Now you're getting power and understanding to take the next steps. And pretty soon, you know, you just, God's prospering you. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Something good is happening to you. One way, they come and give you promotions on the job or you know, people give you stuff or things happen. Prosperity's real. For those that criticize prosperity, What are you fighting against something good? If is it good? Yes, it's good. Thank you. I receive it. Everybody should prosper as a Christian. Spirit, soul, and body. I wish above all things that you would and even. Hallelujah for a church that knows that scripture. Thank God. Thank God. Being above and not beneath is such a simple thought, and yet it's profound. Being the head, not the tail. Nobody wants to be the butt. I don't want to be the butt of anything. I don't want to be the butt of anything. I especially don't want to be the butt of the joke. I've been the butt of the joke way too many times. I want to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. I want to be a blessing going somewhere to happen. I want to for God to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I don't have room enough to receive it all. I want to be able to bless when I choose to or when. A lot of times I'm not choosing to, but the Spirit says do it, and we obey. We can prosper and be in health even as our souls prosper. All right, we're getting ready to receive communion with a few more thoughts here. In Proverbs 28:1, everybody should know this. Proverbs is the best place to start being a doer of the word because it's one line at a time. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You may be a wimp. But you know, if you say that scripture enough, you're going to put on the armor that David had on. You may be a little dude like me. But when you begin to see that the righteous are bold as a lion, all of a sudden you put up your spiritual dukes. All of a sudden you start pumping some spiritual iron. Pretty soon you're jogging, quoting scripture. And you're getting strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. And now, nobody's getting over on me. I don't care about getting over. The devil's not going to get over on me. Do we still make mistakes? Of course we do. But nevertheless, we can win way more than we lose. And that's where we're going. That's prospering. Winning so much more than you lose. Getting to the place where you're not disappointed anymore. Why? Because you won. You didn't lose. It's disappointing to lose. Being a loser is disappointing. I don't want to be a loser. I don't want to live in a disappointment. I want to live in joy. I want to live in thank you, Lord, that was so awesome. You just blessed me so great. And man, I don't even think I deserve it, but I got blessed exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or think according to the power that's at work within me. That's prospering. So don't any of you ever criticize anything about prospering. Now, if people are putting money way out there in front of everything else, that's wrong. But if you've got your life in order and you put the word first, you put God first place, I mean, you know, honor the Lord with the first fruits. Honor him. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. I want my barns filled with plenty. And your vats will burst out with new wine. I want that new wine. I want to prosper. I love it. I love being debt free. I love not having, you know, the miserable bills and money and going, the bills are stacked and the money's down. That's miserable. We can prosper. You can prosper. But it starts with being a doer of the word. It starts with putting God first place. Because I can't let everybody see that, hey, I'm a Christian, but I'm a pervert in private. I ain't no perv. Ha, 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 devil. You ain't got me. I'm a doer of the word. I better get to a positive here before I receive communion here. Let me find one more positive in here, and then we'll... For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the work of the evil one. 1 John 3:8. This is where we'll start to receive communion. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. So, amen. I had a couple more pages, but nevertheless. Pastor Nancy, you want to come up and help me receive communion?
I just had Proverbs chapter 3. It's a great, great chapter in the book of wisdom because it covers so much. And verse 5, lean on, trust in, this is from the Amplified Classic, be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways, know, that's what you were talking about, know him by his word, know him by the Spirit, know and acknowledge him, recognize him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. We need our paths to be straight, and we need our paths to be plain. We need to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that can be all sorts of stuff. Can be whatever's holding you back from selling out to God. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear. That means to honor him. Reverently honor God. Worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. That's our part. I'm pretty sure that if we did a question and answer, multiple choice, every single person in here could tell the difference between good and evil. The world is calling good evil and evil good.
I wish I would.
But if you're
that.
A Christian, you know, because you got God living on the inside of you. Why? Because verse 8, it will be health to your nerves. If you have nervous issues, anxiety, fear, you need to back up and do verse 5, 6, 7 and start saying, it's health to my nerves and sinews, marrow and moistening to my bones. Health.
I never knew nerves was in there. That's great. That is so good. That's Amplified.
That's the Amplified Classic. Man. Yeah. And then Pastor Steve already quoted it. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors with the first fruits of all your income. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. God's good. He's got the whole package for us. If we'll just be doers of the word.
That's
sell
the bottom
out.
Line. That's bottom line. Sell out. That's
sell
the,
out. Absolutely. It's so worth it. That's where deliverance and healing and things start to click for you. But if you're just kind of half in and half out, nothing's going to make sense. But when you, I'm all in, Mary said to the angel.
Be it unto me.
She submitted wholeheartedly, humbly. And look where we are because of her obedience, because of Joseph's obedience.
Be it unto me according to your word.
Be it unto us, God, according to your word. It's so worth it. Peace is so worth it. I love that scripture. It leads us to the in the paths of peace. God's got so much in scripture. So.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well,
communion.
Can we have some communion too, anybody?
It's right here. She already brought it up, honey.
Oh, thank you, honey.
I'll usher myself over here and help you.
Thank you. Let's say the salvation prayer. Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that he died on the cross for me.
I believe that he died on the cross for me.
And was raised again from the dead.
And was raised again from the dead.
So that I could have eternal life.
So that I could have eternal life.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
And be my Lord.
And be my Lord.
I ask you to forgive me of my sin.
I ask you to forgive me of my sin.
I receive forgiveness now.
I receive forgiveness now.
I receive eternal life.
I receive eternal life.
I thank and praise you for it.
I thank and praise you for it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Look at that. Thank you. Do you want me to grab yours or you got it? Okay, thank you. Hallelujah for communion. It's part of a celebration of Christ and what he's done. And, you know, again, we made a reference to it, but the amplification of Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's just commit right now that during these next few days, as much as it's fun to like stuff, I'm going to keep Jesus in front of all of it. And, you know, if you got a plan to bless somebody, and actually I don't have a plan to bless you yet, even though I did have a plan to bless you, but nevertheless, if you know, let Jesus be the reason for the season. Can someone say amen to that? All right. Father, we thank you for communion today. We thank you that your body was broken for us and your blood was shed for the remission of our sin. And when we put these together and we do this in honor of you, Father, we do this in honor of you because you said to do it and because it's part of our Christian walk. And so we celebrate communion this morning. The Bible says after he had given thanks, he took bread and he broke it and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup after he'd supped, saying, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, the new testament in my blood. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Lord, we love you. We put you in remembrance. We thank you for your body, which was broken for us, and your blood that was shed for our remission of our sin. We're grateful to be in a Christian church. We're grateful to be around Christian brothers and sisters. We're grateful to have Bibles, to have this beautiful facility that you've given us to talk about God, to talk about Jesus, to talk about the Holy Spirit, to talk about salvation, to talk from the Bible. It's an honor. It's a privilege. We thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you Merry Christmases. In Jesus' name we pray. And anyone who agreed said?
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Amen. Well, we'll receive the offering and it's an opportunity to be a doer of the word. And so, Father, thank you so much for the privilege of giving. Thank you, Lord, that when we open up our hearts, we open up our resources to you. When we sow and give, God, you multiply those resources sown. You multiply the seed sown back to us, that each one of us would have bread for food and enough seed left over to keep that process rolling forward. Thank you, God, for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for showing each one of us truth. Thank you for confirming your word with signs following. We honor you, we worship you with our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings now in Jesus' name. Amen.